About this time last year, Charlie, our rector, Anita's husband, came up to me and Rich, the guy that I work with, and said, I'd like you to make a CD. And I was a bit like, what of? So we kind of chatted about it a bit, prayed about it a bit. And Rich is a very keen songwriter, and Jamie, who works with us as well, is a really great songwriter, and I'm getting there. And we decided to go ahead with trying to pull together a project. And as I was thinking about what it might be like, I really sensed that God wanted us to do something that wasn't just, that wasn't a copycat of lots of other albums out there at the moment, so that we were going to resource a different area of the market as such than other CDs do currently. So there's lots, as I'm sure you've seen, there's lots of churches albums out everywhere, and they're amazing standard of like professional musicianship, and I was just like, wow, they're quite intimidated by that. But I really sensed that God was saying, well, what is your heart for worship, and what is the vision of St. Aldate's worship that you can make into a project? And so we decided that we wanted to have a worship and intercession project, which we weren't sure what that would look like, but we decided to run with that. I have to say, I'm really excited about the end result of what we managed to accomplish. And it took a lot of hours of putting together, and we're fortunate to work with some great musicians and great producers who really pulled out a lot of things from people who are just every, you know, they're just members of our team that play every Sunday. We did our best not to use people who are, you know, professional musicians, but we tried to use people as much as possible that were from our team who had the same heart and vision for it. And I guess what I'm really hoping with the project is that the heart that our team has for worship and intercession, I know, is matched by a lot of other churches throughout the country, and is really growing amongst our generation in worship. We're fortunate to have quite a few connections with different people because of New Wine and other organisations that Charlie and Anita partner with. And we're really starting to see a shift in the worship, that it's not so much just us singing to God anymore, but it's more of he comes and meets with us in that time, and he shows us his heart, he reveals that, and then there is this time of intercession where we can start to tap into what God's asking us to do and move into in prayer and other things. And so that's really the vision behind it. And so I guess if some of you have got musicians that are interested in this kind of thing, I'd really say to you that this is a great resource for them. It's got some prayer tracks on it that are specifically something that you could use in your quiet time or even in a prayer meeting in church to help inspire and get things moving. I think sometimes we come to a prayer meeting, I often find I'm leading worship at something, and I'm like, I get to the end of the song, I'm like, okay, here we go. And you feel like you're kind of entering the deep water and you're not really sure how to swim. But actually, I know that God is calling us all, I think, to start entering that place and to start pressing into deeper water as worshippers and as intercessors, and kind of calling those two roles back together as well. So we're not a worshipper or an intercessor, but actually we're the two. So that's kind of the vision behind the album. And if you have people on your worship teams at home that want to chat more about it with us, then please do let them know to contact me. I work at St. Aldate, so you can find my address, email address on the website. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it. I hope that it just inspires you to get deeper into God. Yeah, that's probably all I have to say. Also, we are really blessed to help run a venue at New Wine called Hungry. This is just at New Wine Central and Southwest at the moment, but they're hoping, I heard the other week, to get it running at the other two. And that's a venue that's open from 7 a.m. till about 10:30 p.m. excuse me, in the evening. And we are constantly having prayer, worship, seminars, apart from during the main sessions. And that's really a space that we're trying to cultivate, this heart of worship and prayer coming together, that we might try and model something that people can take home and see that it's not just big professional music teams that can kind of do all this stuff. It's actually people just in local churches that can get together and meet with God in this amazing model. So we're trying to help people to develop that. Matthew can probably say more about that because he heads it up, really. I just do the worship side. But this year was amazing. It was just an incredible time with God. I have to say, Anita said earlier, I think when this lady, I can't remember her name, Marvik was saying about hearing angels singing when you worship. I think we did have a moment in the Hungry Venue this year where I was actually, I'm sure that we were hearing heaven with us. It was absolutely amazing. And I've never heard anything like it before. It was just incredible. So I just encourage you, if you know people that want to get involved more with this, or you know young people who are, you know, would like to get trained up or chat to someone about how they can get more involved in this kind of thing, then please do let us know and we can try and help out in any way that we can.
So I'm just going to carry on from where Lauren left off and chat about a few things that are happening in Oxford and a conference that's coming up, and then go into a strange foreign land as well. So there's those three things. So there's a way that we're kind of continuing exactly what Lauren said about the hungry worship, which is hungry is our word of expressing kind of the worship and intercession together. We kind of just package that underneath the word hungry. And so normally we just do that in the summer at New Wine for a whole week. We go full on for it, absolutely ballistically, get completely whacked out by the end. Lauren comes up on the last morning and goes, I don't think I can sing anymore. But she was getting much better this year. We're improving, we're getting stronger. So this year, especially, God laid it on Lauren's heart and she came over and beat me, which was really good for me, and said, I think we should carry on doing this more. And so we've made a commitment, even though we don't know what it will look like and how much pain it will kind of give us. But we've said we'll do every other Monday from now till New Wine. We're going to do 2 hours of this same intercession. And that's quite a new announcement. Some even on our team haven't heard that. Like Anita, sorry. It's been rather busy recently. So, yeah, that's something that we're going to start really soon. So you can please pray with us at that kind of sets off. It doesn't have to be big, it doesn't have to be loud, but we're just going to try and be steady from now till next summer with this. It's going to be starting on November the 8th, but I suppose we'll set it, we'll have a little break over Christmas and Easter, so it might not be. You can go to www.oxfordprayerroom.org.uk and you'll be able to kind of track with that. So that's really exciting. And we're kind of extending that out to other people as well, as Lauren kind of mentioned. So there are other churches, particularly in our region, that we are getting networked with. And if you guys have people who are worship leaders who want to come down, we'll be doing some training days at some point, and do get in touch with Lauren or myself, and we'd love to connect with them and do that. God does seem to be doing something in this nation in the area of worship and intercession, and we just want to follow on behind that. So that's Hungary. Then you'll be absolutely, so how could you get involved with Hungary? How could you get a taste? And well, you could come along to Next Gen 2011, which is going to feature the Hungary band, and it's going to be, I'm excited about this conference. I mean, we've been doing, what's this, seven? This is seven. So seven, who knows, that's a good number. Yes, seven is a good number. We feel as a team that we've kind of narrowing it down and maybe zooming on to the vision of it. And we've kind of packaged it down to young and old aligning for God's purposes. So we really want to express to everyone that it's young and old, the two generations together. The two or the many generations coming together to seek God in prayer and in worship. And we've got some, we're just mightily blessed with the people who've decided to come along. There's a guy called Mark Russell, who's the chief executive of the Church Army. Great guy, really significant guy. He is on the church synod speaking to the archbishop all the time about how the church can be effective in evangelism and effective in reaching young people in particular. We heard him at New Wine this summer and he was remarkable speaking on prayer. We emailed him and he got back and said, I watched your video and kind of read your email, and that is exactly what I'm passionate about. Oh, and I'm going to show you the video. I should have done that first. This is information that isn't in the video, so I'll just do that and then we'll do the video. That's good. He said really excited about the video and really excited to be there. This is exactly what my kind of life vision is about. So that was great. And then we also have Heidi Baker, who has come in to speak as well. And many of you have heard of her. She's a missionary in Mozambique. And she's good friends with our church and particularly with Anita and Charlie. And you can never quite tell what's going to happen when Heidi turns up. Yeah, that's right. So tickets are going to be, should we hand these out now? So if Olivia's going to come around and hand these out, so everyone can get one, but what we'd like you to be is representatives and mobilizers and encouragers. So kind of have a quick think and set yourself a target. If it's 5 people you're going to invite, or 10, or 50, that would be a lot, but 5 or 10 maybe, and let Olivia know, and then you can take 5 or 10 of these back and make, you know, we don't have billions of these, so please be good stewards. And there's not a booking form this year. We are going completely online. But if that's a problem, it's got my phone number in here just for you. So you can phone me up and say, hi, Matthew, I'm coming. But if you can use the online system, please do, because that makes my life slightly easier in terms of admin. So what we are going to do is, because we feel that this year, especially with the speakers that we've got come in and the way that the conference has been building up year on year, that it could be a sellout fairly quickly. And so we want to make sure that the Ask Network do not get left behind in buying tickets. So we're going to send you an email out in the next week or two that will have a link to you to be able to buy your tickets. And this will be before other people can buy tickets. And it will also be, for a limited time only, slightly cheaper. So what did we set the prices at? It's £25 as standard entry, or £10 for students or seniors. And it's going to be £20 as standard entry, and it will remain as £10 for students or seniors, I think for just 2 weeks, from the 1st of November for 2 weeks. So this will all come out to you in an email. It's got my phone number on here underneath the booking section, and you'll be able to call me up and I'll do you the special deal just as if it was online as well. So I think that is all the details. So book the takeaway home message is book early. It's in February, but we basically would like Ask to book on probably from 1st of November to mid-November. That will guarantee that you get a ticket, and that will guarantee that you get a cheaper ticket. Yep, so we just want to make sure that you guys don't miss out. So that is really exciting. To hear a little bit more about the vision.
The next generation is a gathering of all generations. We are preoccupied with the safe transmission of God's word and ways to the next generation, whether they be 50 or 5, X or Y.
It's all about young and old.
Aligning for God's purposes.
It's about learning from those who have gone before us.
And from those who are coming after us.
It's about the core biblical concept
expressed like this in Psalm 78.
We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord.
What would society look like
if it were passing down age-old truths
from one generation to the next?
Truths about God's word.
About prayer.
About living justly.
It's vital for each succeeding generation to hear from God.
To hear that God's word is true.
To learn that prayer works.
And to see that it's possible to live out lifestyles that speak of justice.
Because we believe that God wants to speak to us about these matters,
we're putting on the Next Generation Conference.
We'll be meeting, praying and worshipping
with those younger and older than ourselves.
And we'll be meditating on God's word.
And hearing from guest speakers who will help us to understand how it should impact our lives.
So join us in February 2011.
As the generations gather to discover and celebrate all that God is doing in
and around us.
Join us to pass on what God has given you
to those who are coming next.
Join us to be part of the next generation.
So, these are our preoccupations. Safely handing on God's word and ways, listening and talking to him, and living justly. We hope they trigger a longing for God in you, and we hope to see you there.
Yeah, my name is Jill. I'm a student in Oxford, and a couple years ago, I was an intern for St. Aldate's. I moved to England for the church, and I'm so thankful for it, and I just stayed on because I love Anita and team. Yeah, I was the prayer intern for the church. And one thing, even to piggyback off what Matthew was saying about the next generation, one thing that I've appreciated so much about the ASK team is just their impartation and freedom for the next generation to go forward and to do the things that the Lord has called them to. And when last night when Celia was just preaching through Malachi and just the verse again came out to me where it talked about turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And thank you, ladies, so much for giving us that freedom to do the things that the Lord has called us to do. But I think on the flip side, our generation needs to learn how to accept the things that the older generations have taught us and to learn how to honor and respect and even build from the things that you guys have given us. And God, again, just reminding me in Matthew 9 where it says, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskin, for the old skins will burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved." And even what Matthew was saying about younger generations questioning and bringing things up of the things they may not understand or may disagree with older generations on. I just feel like my generation needs to learn what it is to honor those that have come before us, to see the things that the Lord has done in the past and even being excited and just push forward because of the things that those who have gone before us have done. So are we going to have time to pray for generations at some point this weekend? In the next 12 hours sometime? Great. Great. So I think that would be one thing that we could really pray about, just learning how we've been inspired and excited to move ahead, but also learning what it means to take on the things that the wonderful heritage that you guys have left for us and taking those on further to the fruition of what God has in all its fullness. Yeah, right now I am getting a master's in theology at Oxford, and eventually I want to do fundraising for nonprofits. Yeah, so we'll see. Yeah. So I'm in England for an indefinite amount of time. So yeah, good. That's all.
Sorry, I'm hesitating because I haven't massively prepared something, even though Anita warned me about this. I'm Hanny Seddon, for those of you who don't know me. I work at St. Aldate's Church. I started working for St. Aldate's just over a year ago now. And I'm the School of Ministry pastor, so my role is basically, even though I still consider myself the next generation, in a sense I'm already kind of working with the next generation under that. So I have a wonderful group of 15 interns with me this year at St. Aldate's. Two of them are here with us over these couple of days. And I suppose not to go into the detail too much of what we do at St. Aldate's with the interns, but to explain a little bit about my heart for them, I suppose. I've done a lot of reading over the years of books, the likes of Hudson Taylor, C.T. Studd, Heavenly Man, so many of those kind of inspiring books about people who have done incredible things for the Lord, pioneer missionaries, missionary martyrs, cried my way through a lot of them. But through that, I guess that there's a sense in which their lives have already imparted something into me. And for a while, I was kind of before God of, God, I want to live a radical life. What does that mean for me? It seems so much easier in a way, the thought of getting out there. I want to do that, even though that's a really hard call. And the Lord brought me around to a place where he showed me that he wanted me to be a part of training and equipping a generation to be ready to go and do whatever the Lord might call them to. So not that I don't have to do that, because obviously I do in my different way, but that I'm part of his way of doing that, the next generation of C.T. Studds and Hudson Taylors, etc. And then I suppose more specifically, I think the way I observe it is that there tends to be an emphasis either on, in lots of kind of courses that run, either on delving into the Father heart of God and just spending a lot of time focusing on his love. Not that that's wrong, but there are courses that sometimes do that. Or they are doing the kind of radical living, practical, get out there kind of thing. And my real heart for the interns who are on the year is that they get a combination of those two things throughout the year that shows them that life is about an integration. Our walk with Christ is about an integration of those two things. And I passionately believe that we are only going to do the things that we're called to do if we really know our God, if we know the Father heart of the Lord, if we have a right vision of him, and then within that come to a right understanding of ourselves and who he's called us to be. And from that place, then also that spurs us out to do all that he's called us to do. Because actually, if you get that vision of God, if you really understand who he is, you are going to be willing to do whatever it takes for him. And not only that, but you'll be doing it from the right foundations that actually lead to the potential for a lifetime of ministry, that long obedience in the same direction, rather than a couple of years of excitement and pouring yourself out and then actually just settling for things being fairly okay. So my deep desire for the interns is that they get something of that in the year, also that I learn more of it, even as they are learning more of it. And just to really encourage you as well, that the Lord is doing amazing things in the lives of these young people. I'm into my second year with them now, and last year I witnessed him do some incredible things in their lives. I think if there's one thing I learned last year, it's that Jesus is the only one who can save, but he really can save. And when he steps into a person's life and transforms it, it is a work that is done, and it is a work that leads then to more than we could ever ask or imagine. And already this year, so even just on Monday morning, the interns gather together each Monday morning for a time of prayer and worship together. They're led by each other. And on the Monday morning, they were just, these girls over there, Lauren was leading a time with them, and they were just giving time to the Lord, seeking his face. And they had just an amazing time of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the little prayer room in Oxford, just the 15 little interns. And they had just a really exciting encounter with God that has shown them more of who he is and is already spurring them on to discover more in him. And then also on Monday, I suppose this is just to explain a little bit of where I'm at right now, is with all of that in mind, I think my personal journey recently has been showing me a lot about how easy it is to slightly lose perspective of God, the God that we serve. And not that I had totally lost perspective, but I was chatting to Jenny about this yesterday, and she was mentioning it as well earlier today. But the beauty of Jesus is something that I want to be recaptivated by, and I want us as a group with the interns and as a church to be recaptivated by. I think that's a lot of what he's saying to your church at this time. Look at me, who am I? And on Monday we spent some time with the interns, spent the whole day teaching them on the cross and the power of the cross, and it just, I think we just take it for granted. Well, I know that I have taken it for granted far too much in my life. And that sense that he's calling us back to that place of consider the cross, consider who I am, consider what it means when I say, you know, when Paul says to us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, what does that mean? What does that union with Christ mean for our lives? What should it look like? So it's my heart that all of these, in a sense, partly I suppose, that all of these things that I'm also going through in my life, that I'm also trying to work through with the next generation as I go along. So God is teaching us all the time and growing us in him for his glory, I believe.
And Hannah, if you remember, last night Celia was saying that it was actually Hannah's mother who had that vision a long time ago about these two streams. Did you mention that last night? Okay. She had a vision about Lydia actually and ask streams joining, and she was a member of Lydia, wasn't she? And so she will be at the wedding with you along on, so there's all these interconnections. I'm just mentioning that because I think God does this incredible networking, and there are all kinds of crisscrossing connections represented in this room over this couple of days. You mean you looked after her when she was a baby? So it's all thanks to Vicky. Okay, great. We're going to hand over. We've got Liz. Would you like to? Thank you so much, all of you.
Right, follow that. I'm just so privileged to be the person who comes after hearing from those special youngsters, because really I think that that's been something that's been on my heart for years, to see young people grow up to take their place in God's destiny, God's purpose for them. And I almost think that there's been a visual display of what I have to say today from having them come up and speak beforehand. I wasn't quite sure what I was going to say when I came here. And I thought it was my fault for not really listening, but I think that God actually understood that it was a danger to me coming with something, because he had things he wanted to say to me here. And, you know, that picture of the jigsaw puzzle that Jane mentioned, that sometimes it takes a bit of time before all the pieces drop into place. I was looking at Psalm 85 for a while, just sort of meditating on that. And there's a bit in there in which the psalmist is calling out for God's mercy. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? And that phrase just stuck with me, and I sort of just wasn't sure what God wanted me to say, but it was something about the next generation, and what we're doing in this nation is not going to affect some of us older women as much as it's going to affect our children, our grandchildren, and some of you younger folk here. You know, we're giving you a very poor inheritance if we don't change our ways soon, and if God does not have mercy on us. Now, I've also been meditating for a little while on a scripture from Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And this is, it's become apparent that this was what God wanted me to talk about today. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He doesn't know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." And that scripture's been with me for a while. You know, sometimes God gives you a scripture and you're just with it, and you just know you've got to just hang on in there with it and see what he has to say. And he's talked through it, said quite a lot to me through it. But someone came into my life a little while ago. Somebody was at the Next Gen conference in February, and they suddenly got in touch and said, "Now's the time, I want to come and pray with you." Okay, and just talked to her a bit about what her interests were, and she was interested in praying for the children. She has a real heart to challenge the church to be praying for the children of our nation. And I thought, oh yeah, I'm concerned for the children. And she sent me a brochure through that she'd put together, and I just opened this file up and I was confronted by a picture. I've got some more of these if you want to see, but it's a picture of the sower and a pile of seed. And I, you know, it was one of those moments where I suddenly thought, ah, I've got to stop God saying something. Because I'd had this scripture in Mark I'd been meditating on, and suddenly here I was confronted by this picture of the sower and the seed. And I thought, there's something here that I need to listen to and to really consider what God's saying. And he woke me up a bit during the night last night, and was speaking to me yesterday about this. There are people who have sowed into my life. I'm here where I am today because of people sowing their prayers and their words into my life. My parents, very, very important. My father and mother prayed for me. My father taught me about unconditional love when I was really hurting him and my mother. He said to me, "Doesn't matter what you do, I still love you." And that really spoke to me about unconditional love. And other significant people, single people, our youth worker in our first parish, spent a lot of time with me. My godmother, who was a nun, never got married. she's just died 10 days ago, but I know she's prayed for me all my life. And those people have been used by the Lord for me to actually be the person I am today. So I really think that there is a call on us to be praying for the children of this nation. And it was brought home to me recently again when I was speaking to a Christian young woman who was distraught because she was having real difficulties with her relationship with her boyfriend. And she started to open her heart to me, and I discovered from what she was saying the things that the lies that had been put into her identity and into her belief about herself and about men that were just out of the pit of hell. And the reason she was struggling was because these lies had got into her identity, into her beliefs. But praise the Lord that as we were talking, she discovered that for herself, and it was possible. I had the privilege of praying with her and seeing that change. This is a Christian girl. Now, we've got a parent in our church who's worried about her daughter because her daughter's saying that the boys that she's mixing with at 15 are seeing pornography on the internet, and that's having such an impact on what their expectations are of the girls around them as girlfriends or just as friends. These are things that are impacting the Christian children, the children with loving parents, with homes where they're being taught about the Lord Jesus. And they need to know that they're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, Psalm 139, I looked at that as well. God put them together in the womb. God has plans for them. It's one of these. I know the plans I have for you. They've got destiny. Anita's written a book about destiny of the children. That's challenge enough. But what about the children, the thousands of children, the millions of children who are growing up in unbelieving homes, the thousands of children who are growing up in chaotic families that don't even know who their father is? They've probably never seen him. There's a series of men come through their lives, sometimes abuse them. They've got chaos, they've got crime, and it's just hopeless for them, literally hopeless. We've talked a lot about hope in the last 24 hours. And one of the things that these children are missing is hope. And we know that the source of hope is Jesus. They don't have Jesus in their life, they don't have hope. What can they make of their lives without that hope? Everything's short term. You know, their relationships. It's, what can I get out of this? You know, where's the next gratification coming from? They just can't commit to long-term relationships if they don't believe they've got a future. If they don't believe that there's some reason for committing to somebody for life. So these chaotic families are being handed down the generations, because these children grow up without knowing that marriage is possible, that commitment is possible, that you can serve somebody else and not do it for your own sake, that you don't have to look after number one. And this is very much what the Lord has been putting on my heart in the last sort of few hours. This is one of the beauties of ASK, is that we're asking God to do what only he can do. You know, we look at these situations. We may not even know these children. We may not know where they are, but we know that they exist. We're asking him to do what only he can do. And then we're going to be willing to do whatever he tells us. So that might be in the place of prayer, or it might be caring for children that we come across. But I've been really challenged by this call to prayer. I just thought, oh yeah, I've always prayed for children. But I found myself just in a shop, on a bus, on a train, suddenly seeing children and thinking, I can pray for them. Some of these children have nobody to pray for them. Now, that's sad. There are people in our nation, that there are young, vulnerable ones that a prayer has never been said for. So I really come to challenge you to consider, how are we praying for the children of our nation? What inheritance are they going to receive from us? We don't need to know the details about these children. I've given you some sort of insights and some examples, but we've got scripture. We can pray that in for our children. The Holy Spirit can show us how to pray. And I think that praying for hope for them, and that has to be tied up with praying that they might glimpse who the source of true hope is. To pray for godliness in our nation. You know, why are our children being exposed to pornography as teenagers? You know, why are we letting this happen? Why are we saying it doesn't matter if you marry, it doesn't matter if you cohabit with different men, your children will be fine? You know, the government says it doesn't matter what sort of relationship you have, as long as you love your children, they'll be fine. Well, sadly, that's not the truth, and the truth is not being spoken. And we need to see the truth spoken in our nation. And just a little bit of hope. I was recently at a meeting of marriage organisations, and there was an MP there, and he was talking about his work in the government. There are Christians in this government. There are Christians in positions of influence. They're not just MPs, they're advisers as well. And they need a lot of courage to speak out, because this coalition government, for all there are people who are well-intentioned, there are also people who have an agenda for the gay lobby, for gay marriage, for extending sex education, for all sorts of things which are actually going to damage our children. So please pray for those people who find themselves in positions of influence, that they would have courage, that they had know when to speak and when to be silent. So how will we sow? This leaflet is talking about seeking green-fingered intercessors to plant prayer seeds for children and young people. And when I looked at that scripture in Mark 4, I was saying, well, what is this? What is this seed that you want me to scatter? And I think that part of it is our prayers, because I have no idea what people prayed for me in the past, but I know that it made a difference or I wouldn't be here. And so you just don't know as you pray how God is going to make that seed grow. And he's the one that makes it grow. We just scatter the seed, and it's the Holy Spirit, it's the work of God that waters and makes it grow. And just going back very briefly to Psalm 85, which ends in a wonderful way. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps. That's what we want for our nation, isn't it? We want to see it changed. And I think that one way that's going to happen is as we pray for our children and our young people. We want more of these precious ones that we've seen just now sharing what God's done in their lives. We want more of that. We want a whole generation raised up to serve and worship the Lord. Well, we have some time to pray. We'd be good to pray for Yemen. I think it would be good to just allow God to touch our hearts for children of the nation. And there's some scriptures that we've got from the Next Generation Conference. One in particular is Psalm 78, verse 4. Well, actually, just reading up to verse 4. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. It's almost a prayer in itself to just meditate on that and say amen to that.